This is a weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of November 20th, 2020. This is the John Lothian News Daily Update for November 16th, 2020. This is Patrick Lothian filling in for John. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. A note from John Lothian. The Boy Scouts of America will be in the news this week, as today, Monday, is the deadline for people alleging they were abused to file a claim. More than 70,000 claims are expected to be filed by the time the deadline passes. We have had two new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. David Feltes, an anonymous, gave to the campaign. Dave Feltes is head of financial markets infrastructure at Capco, a global management and technology consultancy dedicated to the financial service and energy industries. He is also a former CME Group executive in London and former CEO of Marquette Partners, among other career stops. He was so incredibly gracious to my son Tim when he came to London for IDX in 2010. Anonymous is a former industry intern who is not in a significant industry position. You can read Chuck Mackey's complete FIA Expo in the article. The Nodal Exchange's clearinghouse, Nodal Clear LLC, was approved by the CFTC to clear the DCM or exchange's products. This puts a new player into clearing for innovative new products. Jim Cohn, a former colleague of the late Peter Wind at CIS, has offered his remembrance of Peter. I am having a typical medical procedure for a person over 50 today and had to get a COVID-19 test on Friday to prepare for it. I tested negative, but had to go into quarantine over the weekend. One of my wife's co-workers tested positive last week, but she was not in contact with him while he was contagious. A much beloved former high school choir director of mine at Glenbrook South High School is in the hospital with COVID-19. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. From John Lothian. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. The STA Foundation is holding a virtual evening of recognition and education on Tuesday, December 1st from 4:15 p.m. to 6 p.m. EDT, honoring the 2020 STA Foundation Awards. Recipients can register in the article. A $20 donation is suggested. From Matt Rabel, an International Chess Foundation master, Alexandra Botez, challenged Ethereum creator Vitalik Buterin to a friendly game of chess on Twitter over the weekend. Botez didn't specify, but since she's also a prominent Twitch streamer, presumably the game would be played over the internet. Buterin has not publicly accepted at press time. Another note from Sarah Rudolph. Registration is open for FIA's Asia Derivatives Conference. This year's virtual conference takes place December 1st through 3rd. It will examine the industry's response to the COVID-19 pandemic and provide insights into what's on the horizon in the region. For a full list of FIA's Asia Conference program and register, visit fia.org/Asia. There's a new Open Outcry Trader History Project video of Andy Tan. Andy Tan is a former floor broker on SIMAX for Merrill Lynch. He was in the SIMAX trading pits with Merrill Lynch for almost 15 years. Tan made a successful transition upstairs with Merrill Lynch focusing on index arbitrage across Asian products. Then he decided to trade for himself and made it past the first few difficult months and found success. He joined and is building a successful trading firm today. He told his story over Zoom to John Lothian for the MarketsWiki Education Open Outcry Traders History Project. This week's The Spread is titled Edutainment. This week on The Spread, FIA's virtual expo fills in for a physical event. CBOE and ICE launch new products and more. The Crypto Markets Wiki podcast has a new episode, episode 15, Digitizing and Capital Markets. Carlos Domingo is the founder of Securitize, an aptly named blockchain company that securitizes assets in the form of digital tokens. Their company recently signed a deal with an SEC and FINRA registered broker-dealer, an ATS called Distributed Technology Markets LLC, and seems on track to become an end-to-end digital securities platform that offers both securities issuance and trading through secondary markets. Douglas Belkin from the Wall Street Journal wrote, "Charles Koch says his partnership was a mistake. At age 85, the libertarian tycoon who spent decades funding conservative causes says he wants a final act building bridges across political divides." 4 days before this year's presidential election, Charles Koch, a valuable Kansas billionaire who has spent a fortune injecting his particular brand of prairie libertarianism into the American political debate, pauses at the end of the line when he is asked if he will vote for Donald Trump or Joe Biden. "That's a very divisive question, because however I answer, that's going to upset a bunch of people," he said. "That's why there's a secret ballot." A comment by John Lothian. I say give Charles a chance. Sometimes when it's your last chance, you have to get it right. From John Lyons of the Wall Street Journal. The rise and fall of Martin Lee and his dream of a democratic Hong Kong. Beijing's growing crackdown marks the twilight of the lawyer's fight for his city's future. On a rainy night in 1997, when the UK transferred Hong Kong to China, democracy leader Martin Lee stood on the balcony of his city's legislature, vowing to hold Beijing to its promises. China had agreed in the handover that it would let the former colony govern itself under Western-style rule of law, including eventually electing its own leaders. The flame of democracy has been ignited and is burning in the hearts of our people, he said in a speech to supporters and journalists shortly after China's flag was newly raised over Hong Kong. It will not be extinguished. A comment by John Lothian. Hong Kong needs to be on your radar. Important things are happening there. From the SEC, SEC Chairman Jay Clayton confirms plans to conclude tenure at year end. Clayton led agency through period of historic productivity and unprecedented challenges. Commission redoubled focus on interests in long-term Main Street investors. Ensured capital markets functioned with increased efficiency, resilience, and transparency. A comment by John Lothian. When is Heath Tabbert leaving? From Davey Winders of Forbes, Google Chrome update gets serious. Homeland Security, CISA, confirms attacks underway. Homeland Security Cybersecurity Agency says update Google Chrome as attackers hone in on security flaws. Within the space or just 3 weeks short, Google has patched no less than 5 potentially dangerous vulnerabilities in the Chrome web browser. These are not your common vulnerabilities either, but rather ones known as zero days. A zero day being a vulnerability that is being actively exploited by attackers while remaining unknown to the vendor or threat intelligence outfits. A comment by John Lothian. Browsers are like military aircraft. You have to expect some flack now and then. Aynep Tufekci from The Atlantic. It's time to hunker down. A devastating surge is here. Unless Americans act aggressively, it will get much larger very quickly. The end may be near for the pestilence that has haunted the world this year. Good news is arriving on almost every front. Treatments, vaccines, and our understanding of the coronavirus. Pfizer and BioNTech have announced a stunning success rate in their early Phase 3 vaccine trials. If it holds up, it will be a game changer. Treatments have gotten better too. A monoclonal antibody drug, similar to what President Donald Trump and former Governor Chris Christie received, just earned emergency use authorization from the FDA. Dexamethasone, a cheap generic corticosteroid, cut the death rate by a third in severe COVID-19 cases in a clinical trial. A comment by John Lothian, it's time to hunker down. It's time to hunker down. And Friday's top three. Our top story on Friday was the Washington Post's opinion piece, "This is a massive failure of character among Republicans, with evangelicals out in front." Second was JLN's FIA's Expo 2020, FIA's Lurton, spoofing is something you should pay attention to, Oyez, Oyez. Third was Bloomberg's Preet Bharara is a candidate to run SEC, putting bankers on edge. Preet Bharara was also our MarketsWiki page of the day on Friday.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 17th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from Hits and Takes from JLN. The latest donor to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign is CME Group Managing Director for Marketing Kevin Comer. Kevin has been with the CME since 2006 in various marketing roles, working his way up the organization. Thank you to Kevin and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. As you may know, I am a member of the Executive Committee of the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America. I am the Vice President of Development for the Council. One of my responsibilities is to help identify outstanding Eagle Scouts to be honored with the Outstanding Eagle Scout Award. The candidate must be an Eagle Scout in good standing with the Boy Scouts of America and must either be registered with or have their primary residence within the boundaries of the Pathway to Adventure Council. If you know someone who's an Eagle Scout who you believe is a worthy candidate for this award, please let me know. The award is given for attaining eminence at the local, state, or regional level through distinguished service to an Eagle Scout's profession and community. Email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com with suggestions. Thank you. As a reminder, the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards fundraising event is virtual this year and will be held on December 3rd. We will have videos for the event and some breakout Zoom rooms for socializing. Please put this event on your calendar, and you can donate at the johnlothiannews.com website in today's newsletter. Also, you don't have to be in Chicago this year to attend. You can be anywhere as long as you have an internet connection. Sarah Rudolph reports ISDA is offering complimentary registration for its virtual conference, Trading Book Capital, on November 19th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Market participants and regulators from around the world will come together to debate issues relating to the regulatory capital framework. The conference will include expert speakers from the private and public sector on impacts to implementation timeline from COVID-19 and how firms are preparing for upcoming capital requirements and deadlines. You can see the registration in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. The FIA has announced the keynote speakers for FIA Asia Virtual. They will be Lu Boon Chai, Chief Executive Officer of Singapore Exchange, Charles Lee, Chief Executive Officer of Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited, FIA's Head of Asia Pacific, Bill Herder, and Dawn DeBerry Stump, Commissioner at the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. You can register at fia.org/A. Here are some more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Bloomberg has a story where Biden can find $1 trillion in tax revenue. When President-elect Joe Biden takes office in January, he'll face a quandary: how to reform the tax system to raise much-needed government revenue. One promising option: give the Internal Revenue Service the resources needed to ensure the wealthiest are paying the taxes they already owe. As it turns out, Donald Trump isn't the only affluent American partial to aggressive tax maneuvers. Private equity executive Robert Smith, who made headlines in 2019 by pledging to pay off student loans for Morehouse College graduates, recently admitted to criminal tax evasion of hundreds of millions of dollars over a 15-year period. He will pay back taxes and penalties, but avoid prison. The Justice Department has also indicted software executive Robert T. Brockman, claiming he concealed approximately $2 billion in income, with Smith's help, in an offshoring scheme featuring a computer program aptly named Evidence Eliminator. My comment is, if you're looking for $1 billion, look in the cushions of Air Force One. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business's Lynn Merrick. It's a great time to be an option trader. Local firms have pocketed profits and expanded operations in a record boom after several tough years. Stock options trading has skyrocketed 31% this year to an annual record, lifting the fortunes of the firms in Chicago that specialize in them. Chief among them is Citadel Securities, which handles about a third of all options orders, though other Chicago players like Wolverine Trading, Old Mission, Simplex Investments, and Dash Financial Technologies have also benefited. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Monday was a repeat of Friday's top story. This is a massive failure of character among Republicans, with evangelicals out front, a Washington Post opinion piece. Second was also another political story. Charles Koch says his partisanship was a mistake, from the Wall Street Journal. Third was Peter Wynn's remembrance, with an additional remembrance from Jim Cohn. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 18th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. Rand Financial is closing down at the end of 2020, according to a trusted industry source close to the company. Employees were notified in an all-employee meeting on Monday that the firm would wind down by December 31st, 2020. Employees were reportedly given 3-month severance. Requests for comment from Rand executives went unanswered. FIA is holding a holiday auction to benefit Futures for Kids. Prizes range from experiences, dinners, gift vouchers, signed sports memorabilia, jewelry, and more. You can register and join this event on December 8th with a link in today's newsletter. Sam Mehta has been named the Chief Operating Officer of Chicago-based Peak Six Capital Management. The University of Chicago Law School, AFX, and the Becker Friedman Institute are holding a webinar on December 3rd at 12 p.m. Central Time. There will be a keynote address from Acting Comptroller of the Currency, Brian Brooks, and FDIC Chair, Jelena McWilliams. It also features Kathy Kraniger, Director of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. Director Kraniger will be speaking on the CFPB's response in the age of COVID-19. She will be introduced by Tom Milnes, Dean of the University of Chicago Law School. Following introductions, the Honorable J. Chris Giancarlo, former chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and an AFX independent director, will moderate a fireside chat with Director Kraniger, followed by Q&A. Vela's direct market access platform now includes Eurex FX. I can remember when a super spreader was just a really good trader. New Orleans has banned Mardi Gras parades for 2021, but not all celebrations. According to NBC data, the coronavirus is on the rise in all 50 U.S. states. Stay safe and be smart. I borrowed this from Twitter, but it is very true. A Zoom Thanksgiving is better than an ICU Christmas. We had a new donor to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign, Brian Rice. Brian is the owner of Ever.ag, a comprehensive ag risk management company. Thank you to Brian and all those who have given and all those who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by supporting our GoFundMe campaign. Matt Rabel reports, well, it happened. Bitcoin is now worth almost as much as it was at its peak in 2017. Back then, the Bitcoin derivatives market wasn't like what we have today, and this time, Bitcoin derivative volumes and open interest are reaching all-time new highs. The CME Group's Bitcoin futures hit $975.5 billion in open interest Monday, and the open interest for Bitcoin options across all exchanges, regulated or not, is currently sitting at $3.8 billion. The lion's share of that comes from Durbit, with $3 billion in open interest on Bitcoin options. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange has begun publishing 8 volatility indexes based on its 10-year Treasury note futures, measures that would have been particularly interesting to see during the COVID-infused Treasury volatility spikes of March and April, and G5 FX currency pair futures. The benchmark indexes use what the CME calls its CVOL methodology to measure the 30-day implied volatility of the underlying futures contracts based on the prices of their options, using all strike prices, not just the at-the-money option prices. In a release, CME said it plans to publish additional volatility index spanning its asset classes in the first half of 2021. More details are available in today's newsletter. The CBOE Options Institute hosts a 60-minute webinar today, November 18th at 11 a.m. on options managing environmental, social, and governance exposure. Continuing education credit is available. A registration link is in today's newsletter. Eurex has promoted Vasilis Virgotis to head of strategy. He will work with Michael Peters, Eurex's new CEO. You can read about this and other moves at the FIA October-November People News page. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Coronavirus cases at worst explosion means it's time to consider canceling Thanksgiving, says a doctor. This story is from Yahoo Finance. As the nation continues to set daily totals of new coronavirus cases ahead of Thanksgiving, doctors are warning that it might be time to cancel traditional Thanksgiving plans. See my comment above. A Zoom Thanksgiving is better than an ICU Christmas. Bloomberg has a story. Central bankers are too strong and too weak. Yellen, Rajan, King, and Summers explore the paradox in a Bloomberg forum. Are central bankers too strong or too weak? Unfortunately for the global economy, the answer is both. Their control of money is a blunt instrument that's good for achieving some objectives, but worthless for others. Never has the disparity been clearer than now, with financial markets soaring on the back of easy monetary policy, even as many lives are wrecked by the COVID-19 pandemic. My comment, our weakness is our strength. Here's the press release from SGX about the SGX bull charge. SGX bull charge community clocks 150,000 kilometers in virtual charity run, raising $3.63 million for beneficiaries. The XGS bull charge community has gone the extra mile for beneficiaries in the virtual charity run, clocking over 150,000 kilometers to surpass its collective target of 100,000 kilometers. With the support of corporate sponsors and individual donors, the flagship charity initiative of the Singapore Exchange raised $3.63 million amid a challenging year for charitable fundraising. Many thanks to the SGX people and community for their great work. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 19th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. I have been negligent in reporting that David Prosperi has retired from the OCC. He took a package that was offered this summer for employees with certain tenure who were a certain age. He will be replaced by Michael Shore, whom Prosperi brought on earlier this year as a transition plan. Prosperi has worked for four major financial institutions in Chicago: the Chicago Board of Trade, the CME, Aon, and the OCC. He got his start with Superior Oil in Washington, D.C. as an intern during grad school. He later worked on the Reagan presidential campaign in 1980 and then landed a job in the White House as assistant press secretary, working under James Brady and Larry Speaks. He also later worked in the Department of Energy and the Department of the Interior. He lived for a while in Elmhurst, Illinois, not too far from where I live now. Prosperi was hired by Craig Donohue at the CME and the OCC, and he helped transform the OCC into an industry thought leader. He was hired by the CBOT following the FBI investigation of the late 1980s into the Chicago markets. He was one of the very best communication professionals I have ever dealt with and have valued collaborating with him over the years. He will be taking some time to relax and then maybe take on some consulting roles. He has earned the time off. Please consider a donation to the Covenant House. The good people at Wedbush in Chicago have a team and they are trying to raise $10,000. They are 25% to their goal. Covenant House helps homeless youth by giving them the resources to transition from homelessness to independence. Newsweek has an article titled "Trump Can Still Win in Armageddon Scenario for Markets," J.P. Morgan warns, that I am too afraid to even read. The McLean County Clerk in Illinois, Kathy Michael, is a former employee of a firm which I was a part owner. We fired her for commodity fraud reasons, including submitting fraudulent customer documents and misallocation of trades in different customer accounts. She is a Republican elected official in this Illinois county. As a county clerk, her office was responsible for the election in McLean County. My partners and I met her when we worked together at Gerald Commodities. After I left, I went to a firm Bud Frazier formed. He also had left Gerald. After Bud died 9 months later, I and a couple of his longtime associates hired Michael at the Frazier Associates after she had left Rand, which Gerald was renamed after it was sold to a customer, Monroe Trout. Michael had difficulty finding a job as a broker after that as her reputation with us spread among industry compliance departments. She eventually had her son front a firm, Valmichael Group, as the principal, with her working in a non-registered role to avoid the impact of her reputation. We at Fraser were contacted by the CFTC about a fraud investigation into the Michael Group. After the CFTC interviewed her son about the allegations, he committed suicide, the CFTC told us. The CFTC subsequently dropped the case, and we never heard anything more about it or her. I guess there are second chances in life. Justin Wolfers of the New York Times has a commentary titled, "Postpone Thanksgiving and Save Hundreds of Lives." I concur, postpone. There's nothing special about the day. We want to be thankful, not regretful. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Correction, the American Financial Exchange, the University of Chicago, and the Becker Friedman Institute on Thursday, December 3rd at 12 p.m. Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, will host a webinar featuring Kathy Kraninger, Director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Director Kraninger will be speaking on CFPB response in an age of COVID-19. The registration link is in today's newsletter. The event is closed to the media. Attorneys for Cedric Chenoux and James Vorley filed motions last week for acquittal, or failing that, a new trial. Chenoux and Vorley, former metals traders at Deutsche Bank, were found guilty by a jury in September of multiple counts of wire fraud relating to spoofing. Among other things, the defense motion for a new trial claims that the jury verdict was coerced due to the special circumstances caused by COVID-19. Three jurors were excused from service on the last day of arguments because one of them reported having COVID-19 symptoms. During jury deliberations, the remaining 11 jurors were directed several times by Judge John J. Tharp Jr. to continue deliberating despite jury reports that they were deadlocked. Late on Friday afternoon, the jury returned their mixed verdicts of guilty on some counts and not guilty on others. The defense notes that the jury members who did not believe the defendants to be guilty would have felt pressure to change their votes in light of the threat of their own or other jurors catching COVID-19 either in the courthouse or in transit. The Department of Justice has until December 11th to file a response. The STA Foundation plans to honor several industry execs with a Big Heart for Charity Award on December 1st. Among them is Brian Harkins, Executive Vice President and Head of Markets at CBOE Global Markets, for his fundraiser, Wall Street Rides Far. The cycling charity has raised nearly $2 million for the Autism Science Foundation over the past 5 years. Other award recipients are Francisco Manuel of the Man Group and Zach McClanahan of Dash Financial Technologies. Ticket information for the virtual event is in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. David Prosperi retires from OCC, reported by the Securities Finance Times. Options Clearing Corporation's David Prosperi is set to retire as Senior Vice President Communications as of the 13th of November, after just under 6 years with the Equity Derivatives Clearinghouse. He will be replaced by Michael Shore, who joined the OCC in January. Shore is leading the communications function and reporting to Julie Bauer, who oversees the entire OCC external relations team. My comment is, I interviewed David Prosperi over Zoom yesterday about his career, and we will have this interview next week. An interesting note, he was with President Reagan the day that Reagan was shot in Washington, D.C. in 1981. More details are in the interview. Stay tuned. The CME Group announced their 17th annual Student Trading Challenge winner, the first from Latin America. Innovative Global Markets Competition aims to educate and inspire future finance professionals. CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced the winners of its 17th annual CME Group University Trading Challenge, including the first place winners from the University of Antioquia in Medellin, Colombia. They are the first team from Latin America to win the challenge. I bet they're good gamers, too. The next story is from Bloomberg. America just can't get enough of Lysol. Despite record-breaking around-the-clock production, the disinfectant still vanishes from store shelves in a matter of hours, even before the latest COVID spike. One of America's most recognizable icons of fresh-scented cleanliness comes from New Jersey. No matter where, U.S. shoppers are lucky enough to spot cans of Lysol. The sanitizing spray was almost certainly produced at the same sprawling tan-covered factory in a suburb about an hour's drive from New York City. Over the noisy plant's concrete floors, a steady stream of empty cans clink through an assembly line, waiting to be filled. On the line, a machine packs them all with a blend of ethanol, another disinfecting chemical called quaternaryline ammonium compound, or QAT, and some scent. Employees call the mixture the juice. It's to clean with, not to drink. Although when I was a kid, I once tried drinking floor cleaner or floor wax. I can't remember exactly. I had my stomach pumped. It was not fun. Here's a story from the New York Times. Ponzi scheme suspect uses underwater scooter to flee FBI. After a chase, Matthew Piercy disappeared underwater using a submersible scooter, the authorities said. When he surfaced, agents were waiting with dry clothes his wife had provided. When the authorities went to arrest Matthew Piercy on Monday for what they said was his role in running a $35 million Ponzi scheme, he took off in his truck and led them to Shasta Lake, the largest man-made reservoir in California. This would have made great fodder for the late Bart Chilton's Ponzimonium book. The Business Insider reports Bill Gates says in-person meetings aren't the gold standard anymore and that 50% of business travel will go away after pandemic. The sweeping changes we've seen this year to office work and business travel won't go away even after the pandemic subsides, according to Bill Gates. Gates described how he envisions the future of work during an interview with Andrew Ross Sorkin at the New York Times Dealbook Conference Tuesday. According to Gates, one of the biggest changes to how business is conducted will have to do with work-related travel. A story from CNN says Zoom will lift its 40-minute time limit for free meetings on Thanksgiving Day. The holidays are upon us, and one tech company is already in the giving spirit. Zoom announced it will lift its time-to-meeting limit on Thanksgiving so your family gatherings don't get cut short. The video communications company announced in a tweet that the 40 minutes time limit it usually has on its free meetings will be lifted globally on November 26, Thanksgiving Day. This is perhaps the smartest marketing move of the year. The New York Times reports racism impoverishes the whole economy, while the targets unquestionably suffer the most, denying people equal opportunities diminishes the finances of millions of Americans. Discrimination hurts just about everyone, not only its direct victims. New research shows that while the immediate targets of racism are unquestionably hurt the most, discrimination inflicts a staggering cost on the entire economy, reducing the wealth and income of millions of people, including many who do not customarily view themselves as victims. This is something I have said for a long time. When we hold people back from their God-given potential by discriminating against them for whatever reason, we are hurting all of us and our economic, scientific, and societal growth. Just remember to love other people. Love is love. Here are the top three most read stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Financial Times Deutsche Börse to buy majority stake in ISS. Second was Bloomberg's Renaissance 2 Sigma drop as quants navigate chaos. Third was the CME press release. CME Group announces the launch of new implied volatility indexes. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 20th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with the hits and takes section. John Lothian News and John Lothian Productions have produced a short video to encourage people to wear masks, wash their hands, stay 6 feet apart, and to stop COVID-19 so we can all get together again soon. The U.S. Center for Disease Control is pleading with people to stay home for Thanksgiving. Julie Armstrong is the latest donor to JLN's MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Julie is the chief commercial officer at Kozyk. One of her former roles was as executive director, global head of market technology services at CME Group. She is a spectacular presenter and fintech spokesperson. JLN interviewed Andy Bush about the results of the recent election. We are publishing that video now, but here it is on Vimeo. You can find the link in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. JPX has launched the JPX ESG Knowledge Hub, a platform where listed companies can access a variety of ESG investment and sustainable finance related information in one place, building on the practical handbook for ESG disclosure, which JPX and TSE published in March of 2020. Reminder, the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards fundraising event to support the Scouts in the Pathway to Adventure Council for the Boy Scouts of America is on December 3rd. U.S. mortgage rates have fallen to record levels for the 13th straight year, Bloomberg reported. Bloomberg is reporting that America's biggest oil storage hub is filling to the brim again. Get ready for negative oil prices again, potentially. My hair coloring tonic does not run down my face because I don't use hair coloring, unlike former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. See the link for the picture of that in today's JLN on johnlothiannews.com. NASDAQ chief economist Phil McIntosh's latest article is called Post-Election Market Trends 2020 and covers the Biden trade, the vaccine trade, and what's going on with the volatility. You can read it in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. The operating committees of the Securities Information Processors, or SIP, today announced the addition of a new member of the advisory committee, Steve Meehl, Chief Strategy Officer at Level ATS. Mark Yusko, founder and CEO of Morgan Creek Capital Management, said on CNBC's Fast Money that he believes the Bitcoin surge is due to the Fed devaluing the dollar. I'm a little skeptical of anyone who tries to pin a singular cause for any kind of activity in the Bitcoin markets. Whatever goes down, it's usually due to a combination of factors rather than a single big one, Matt Rabel said. Not a ton of options news this week. I guess now that the election is over and the VIX is back in the 20s, the markets are back to wait-and-see mode, Matt Rabel reports. The OCC cleared 28.3% more contracts than their year-to-date daily average Wednesday, Matt Rabel also reported. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Gillian Tett of the FT has a story. Artificial intelligence is reshaping finance. Barclays tie-up with Amazon in Germany shows how the technology is upending the sector. Last week, Barclays credit card business struck a deal with Amazon to offer seamless customized shopping and payment services in Germany. The announcement drew little attention amid the U.S. election, pandemic pain, and the cancellation of Ant Financial's putative $37 billion initial public offering. But investors and regulators should pay attention. That is not because of what the deal shows about German shopping habits, Amazon's voracious expansion, or Barclays' strategy per se. My comment, we need any kind of intelligence we can get these days. The Pan Exchange has a post, Pan Exchange Powers Through Pandemic with award-winning CEO Julie Lerner. Let's talk hemp. Before Denver's population boom several years ago, Julie Lerner, CEO and founder of the Pan Exchange, the leading benchmark price provider in the U.S. hemp industry and other physical commodities, already had her eyes set on living near the majestic peaks of the Rocky Mountains. My comment is, Julie Lerner is rad. Bloomberg has a story. Japan faces worst wild bear attacks in 5 years during virus. A mix of factors from coronavirus lockdowns to a bad year for acorns drive bears to seek food where humans live. On the morning of October 23rd, a 56-year-old employee at West Japan Railway Company was inspecting trains when he encountered an Asian black bear just outside the Suga Station in Japan's northwest Fukui Prefecture. He escaped with just a scratch, but about 10 minutes later, the same bear fractured the leg of another worker at a nearby construction site. My comment, in Chicago, we don't know anything about dangerous bears. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Newsweek's Trump can still win in Armageddon scenario for markets, JP Morgan warns. Second was Business Insider's Bill Gates' in-person meetings aren't the gold standard anymore, and that 50% of business travel will go away even after the pandemic. Third was the bio page of McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael, who I wrote about in Thursday's Hits and Takes. The coin of the week is Bitcoin. Bitcoin surpassed a market price of $18,000 for the first time since 2017. The reason for this is unclear. Some argue that growing public and institutional interest in Bitcoin has created a bull market, while others attribute it to Bitcoin whales. Who knows? Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site now has 193,263,539 pages viewed, with 24,589 pages on the site and 226,884 edits. This podcast has been sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, have a great weekend, and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.